We continue now with our interview with Jim Bowden, author of Wolf War on This, the 40th Anniversary of his classic book.
You came up with a follow-up a year or so later. I'm glad you didn't take it personally. How did that do?
Well, it wasn't Ball 4, but it was one of those books that when you have a successful book, a really successful book, there's the inevitable follow-up, and that's thrown together at the last minute and to get on the shelves as quickly as possible, and it's never as good as the original book, but. Some people liked it. There's some good stuff in there, particularly about the Houston Astros. And by that time, I had been traded to Houston, and so there was a lot in there about how the Astros were responding to the book and Harry Walker. And they had their own cast of characters, very much like the Seattle Pilots.
You basically had a six-year, let's call it a hiatus, after the 1970 season. Do you feel you were blackballed?
No, not at all. I was I wasn't blackballed. I was offered a television job to be a sportscaster in New York City. So when the Houston Astros sent me to the minor leagues, because I was struggling a little bit in 1970, sent me down to the minors. I'm sitting in Evansville, Indiana, looking out the window, and it's raining. And I'm thinking, and then suddenly I get a telephone call from Al Primo in New York. He's a producer, and he wants to know if I want to be a TV sportscaster. And sitting there in Evansville looking out that window, I said, boy, that sure sounds like a pretty good deal. Particularly since I think I was making about $20,000, and they were going to be offering me $50,000. So I left Evansville and went to New York and became a TV sportscaster. I did that for about 6 or 7 years, working with WABC and WCBS, the local affiliates.
And why did you give that up?
Well, I got tired of working inside. It was all inside the studio. I would go out and do stories once in a while, but so much of it was in a room with no windows. And I missed baseball. And I got a crazy idea in the back of my head that I could make a comeback to baseball. And even if I couldn't, it would be fun trying. So I gave up my TV job and went back to the minor leagues. Started in 1977. I played in Knoxville, Tennessee, Durango, Mexico, Portland, Oregon. And I compiled a record of 4 wins and 15 losses.
Thanks.
And then I said to myself, this is not going to work. But then that winter, I ran into Ted Turner, who owned the Atlanta Braves, and I said, Ted, I know this sounds crazy. I'm 39 years old, but I throw a knuckleball. I think I can make it. I'd like to give it a shot. You don't even have to pay me. Just give me a team and a uniform and a place to play. So he liked the idea, so I went down to work out with the Atlanta Braves. They ended up sending me to the minor leagues. I ended up in Savannah, Georgia, AA, and my knuckleball started to really come around. I won 12 games inside of about two and a half months, had the best record of not just anybody in the Braves organization, but everybody in the Southern League. So they ended up calling me up for the last month of the season to pitch for Atlanta. So I was able to make a comeback, and I actually won a game. I beat the San Francisco Giants 4-1.
Speaking of TV for a second, there was actually a very short-lived version
of thank God.
War on television that you starred in. What was that like?
Starring is a stretch.
Who better to play Jim Bowden than Jim Bowden, though?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it turned out almost everybody could have done a better job. So I got together with two friends, Marvin Kipman and Vic Siegel, and we were talking about making Ball 4 into a sitcom. And so since I was working at CBS as a local sportscaster at the time, I said, how do you get a sitcom on the air? And they said, well, you have to do a treatment. Do it. Give us 3 or 4 pages of what the sitcom would be like. So I sat down with Marvin and Vic, and we wrote 89 pages. And we submitted that. They said, hey, this is too much. They started reading it, and they really liked it. They said, this is funny. So let's do a pilot. And so anyway, we were trying to find writers, and it was very hard to find writers for a baseball show, because most of the really good writers were working on, you know, MASH and All in the Family and Welcome Back, Kotter, and there were so many good sitcoms on the air that there were no writers left over. And most writers have never played professional baseball, so they didn't really, they weren't able to capture the, you know, the locker room. So that was part of the problem. I knew we were in trouble when the first script I ever wrote became the pilot script, and the second script I ever wrote became the third episodes. And, and then it was also, they wanted me to try out for the lead part, so I did, and I wasn't that good, but, you know, I wasn't much worse than a lot of other guys, so they said, well, let's have him be, you know, he'll be the star of the show or the lead actor. So it's been all day in the rehearsal hall blocking, doing the blocking and getting ready for the taping on Friday night, and then at the end of the day, all the other actors would go home, and I'd go into the room with the writers, and we'd be writing till 2 o'clock in the morning, trying to fix what didn't work that day in rehearsal. So it was exhausting, and the show wasn't very good. We weren't able to capture any aspect of the locker room, the CBS censors and standards and practices. We couldn't have guys walking around in their baseball underwear. We couldn't have them, you know, burping. We couldn't have them scratching. We could, they couldn't really be ball players.
You're ahead of your time.
Yeah, it ended up looking like, you know, Gilligan's Island in baseball suits.
Well, you could try it again now, I'm sure now.
Yeah, well, now with cable.
Two-com.
Yeah.
Prior to Ball 4, books that were published by players were usually upbeat. They spoke about some tragedy in their life that they had to overcome. They're very white bread stuff. When a player or a former player publishes his memoir nowadays, since you set the bar so high, they're almost always compared with Ball 4. How do you feel about breaking the mold like that?
Well, I'm always amused by it, particularly after Ball 4 first came out, and the players and baseball commissioner Bowie Kuhn said I had done the game a grave disservice, and the players were angry at me. And then within a year or two, Mickey Mantle came out with his book, and then Whitey Ford came out with his book, and Pepitone came out with his, and they were all telling stories that were far more outrageous than anything I said in Ball 4, so I got a big kick out of that. I think it's funny that players had to sit down with an agent and a publisher, and then be told by the publisher that if you're not going to go further than Ball 4, we're not interested in publishing it. So they all had to see if they could outdo me in terms of you know, outrageousness.
Do you ever read any of these new titles that come out?
Not very often. I'm not really a book reader. I'm almost embarrassed to say that. My wife says, Jim doesn't read books, he just writes them. you know, occasionally I will. Once in a while I'll be asked to review a book. So I reviewed a book recently by an umpire. And also a book by some guy who was writing a book about a cheater's guide to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I reviewed that.
Did you ever cheat?
Never. No, I'm serious. I tried to throw a spitball, but I could never master it. I could never, somehow the ball would slip out of my hand, and I could never get the control over it that I wanted, but I tried it. But to me, that kind of cheating is sort of understandable. It's like sort of, if you can get away with it, you know, it takes a skill to do that. And so that was part of the skill of being a ball player, is to deceive, almost like throwing a changeup when the batter expects a fastball. A little worse than that. And the only drug I ever took was an amphetamine. They used to call them greenies, a pep pill. I took it one time before a game, and I'm telling you, I was so jangled. I couldn't concentrate. My heart was pounding. I was bouncing all over the place. It was the worst game I pitched in a long time. And I said, boy, I'm never going to do that again. So I was already at a high level of excitement and awareness. I did not need a pill to get me there. So that's the only time I tried to get some help. But I'd like to make a distinction between the pep pills that players used back then. Those pills, you know, they were like just, you know, like no-dose. Or, you know, you would take, if you were a college kid, you would take it, you know, to do an all-nighter. But they never made any players bigger or faster or stronger. They never made them better players. They simply allowed them to play up to their ability if they have, you know, were out all night or had a hangover or something like that. So, you know, you might call them performance enablers, but they were certainly not performance enhancers. Good. And a whole different category of today's steroids and human growth hormones that actually made players bigger, better, faster, stronger. To me, that's real cheating because, you know, everybody has to risk their lives to compete with these guys.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the other books you've written. You wrote The Greatest Summer. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't write that one. That was Terry Pluto wrote that
one. Yeah, Terry Pluto wrote that about my comeback.
Did you have any input in that?
No input whatsoever, except for Terry was the sports writer in Savannah when I was playing down there, so, you know, he would talk to me. And I think at some point he told me he was writing a book, but I was too focused on my comeback to think much about that.
And you also wrote a book about baseball managers.
Not really. That was a collection of stories by baseball managers that I put together with Neil Offen.
Ah, okay.
And I did write the main chapter, which was about my favorite manager, Joe Schultz.
Joe Schultz. Let's go pound some bud.
So that was a collection, right? Go pound some bud.